Let's welcome to Kingsport tonight, Brother and Sister Smith, as they come and bless us.
Thank you so much. Amen. Let's just give that hand clap to the Lord right now. Amen. Amen. What an honor and privilege it is to be with y'all this evening. And I thank you for taking your time out on a Monday evening to come and be with us. And I want to thank Pastor and his wife for their burden and their desire for this type of ministry. And I think you have great attendance on a Monday night. So thank you for showing up and being here. A little bit describe, I'll introduce this here this evening, then my wife will speak first. And then we're going to take like a 10-minute break when she's done, restroom break, stretching break, get a drink break, whatever. And then we'll come back, and then I'll do the second session here this evening. And then we'll do the next two sessions tomorrow evening. We all have heard for so long that we're body, soul, and spirit, right? Amen. Well, on the body side, I know this church has seen a lot of physical healings, and you might have had healings in your own life, your own body. The Greek word for body is soma, on that body, soul, spirit. Well, on the spirit side, I know that you've had a lot of people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost here. The Greek word for spirit is pneuma. And while I'm introducing this, if the ushers could hand out my wife's handout for the first session, childhood scripts. So we've already body, which is soma, spirit, which is pneuma. But on the soul side, the Greek word for soul is psyche. That's where the word psychology comes from. That is our emotional makeup. And we're going to talk about how you can shout and talk in tongues like you probably did yesterday, but been a fight with your husband and wife in the car on the way home. Or is that just in Missouri? Where we're from. And we say, where did that come from? I just had a great worshipful experience, and now I lost my temper. I'm upset, I'm angry, whatever the case might be. And we say, well, where did that come from? Well, that come from the soul part of us, our psyche. If I could have like the body silo, the spirit silo, and the soul silo. And what happens is we think that just because I pray and talk in tongues, it fixes everything in my emotional area. So we will deal with that. It's kind of like a three-legged stool. You can have a lot of physical healings in the church, a lot of conversions in the church, but yet we're out of balance if the emotional area of our life is not healed. Probably a verse that would describe our ministry along this line would be 3 John verse 2. It says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul, psyche, prospers." So the writer correlates health and prosperity and the blessings of God, even as my soul, or the Greek word is psyche, prospers. One thing we're going to talk about and probably put a lot of folks at ease here this evening is, none of us is perfect. If you're perfect, raise your hand. Nobody raised their hand. Amen. Amen. I seen a wife reach over and pull her husband's hand back down. No, I'm having fun there. Amen. Amen. So none of us are perfect. None of us have a perfect life. None of us have a perfect marriage. None of us have a perfect home. None of us are perfect because we're all imperfect people. So the first two sessions here this evening, or the both sessions this evening, are going to be very, very, very heavy. And there's a purpose for that, because you cannot get healed from things unless you deal with and heal those things. And we're going to be talking about that. My wife will get very transparent. I also, am I doing something with the mic here? Oh, up here? Just not on the bottom. Okay, good. And so tomorrow evening will be a whole lot lighter, and God's going to do some tremendous things. because by the time we get finished tomorrow evening, chains will begin to break in this house, because we will show you the biblical format on what God is going to do. Let me get into my iPad here. Amen. On February the 1st, 2003, the Space Shuttle Columbia disintegrated over Texas during reentry into the Earth's atmosphere, with the loss of all seven crew members shortly before it was scheduled to conclude its 28th mission. Of all the Columbia debris that was scattered over Texas, Louisiana, and even southern Arkansas, the one thing that the officials wanted to find the most was the black box, or the flight recorder. They knew that if they could find the black box or the flight recorder by analyzing all the input of the data from the various systems of the Columbia, they could probably determine what happened before the space shuttle disintegrated. Well, God has designed a flight recorder in us called the heart, or literally the mind. It is not the organ that pumps blood, but our mind and all of life's events, thoughts, emotions are all recorded there. So our task here this evening, and then again tomorrow evening, is to go inside our core belief system, our soul, or the Greek word, our psyche, and find out what is working for us and what is not working for us. And for us as oneness apostolic believers, the thing that most usually is not working for us are negative emotions. Even though we love to talk about the oneness of God, baptism in Jesus' name, the new birth and all of that, we have to admit that negative emotions a lot of times control our behavior. That is why you can shout and talk in tongues on a Sunday, have a great worshipful experience, and then be in a fight in the car on your way home. Or before you even leave the building, be upset at someone, depressed at someone. Does this only happen in Missouri? Does this happen in Tennessee? Amen. And we say, well, what's going on? Well, negative emotions are controlling our lives. And we're going to show by the time we're done tomorrow evening that they don't have to control your life, and that you can biblically get victory over that and break the chains of those negative emotions. If we could look at a box here, and a box here, okay? And so you have an event that happens. You hit the wrong nail with the hammer. Or somebody cut you off in traffic. Does that happen here in Tennessee or just in Kansas City? Okay. It's or road rage, whatever the case might be. And all of a sudden, man, you're upset. All of a sudden, you're ready to run them off the road. All of a sudden, you're throwing that hammer because you just smashed your thumb. And you thought, where did that come from? I'm a child of God. Then we feel guilty because we're unable, in our opinion, to live an overcoming life. And we think the event happens and it leapfrogs that middle box. But in reality, it goes to that core belief system. It goes through my soul part of me, my psyche part of me, where all of my pain, my frustrations, molestation, abandonment, rejection, issues of the past, it goes through that first, and then it comes out as a behavior or a response. Let me give you some examples. Matthew 15, 19. For out of the heart, out of the psyche, out of the black box, out of the flight recorder, proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart, your flight recorder, your psyche with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Proverbs 23:7, as we think in our psyche, so am I. Matthew 12:34, Jesus starts out, brood of vipers. I don't think pastors ever called y'all a brood of vipers. Not saying you haven't wanted to sometime, but people say, well, I love to have Jesus as a pastor. Well, he called his folks brood of vipers. Now that's getting pretty intense, pretty serious there. He said, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of my heart, my mind, my flight recorder, my psyche, my mouth speaks. Not from the spirit silo, but from that part of me where there's negative emotions, thoughts, reasoning, truth, lies, and the list goes on. So what happens is an event happens to us. It doesn't leapfrog that middle box, and then all of a sudden there's the response. No, it goes through hurt. It goes through pain. It goes through issues of the past. And that is why that we can have a great worshipful experience on the spirit silo side, but yet again, be depressed when we leave, be angry when we leave, be in a fight when we leave, feel abandoned when we leave, feel lonely when we leave. It comes to that core belief system. Matter of fact, true feelings come from thoughts, not vice versa. Have you ever said or heard someone say, man, the longer I think about that, the madder I get? Amen. So feelings come from thoughts. The more I dwell on those negative emotions. So the as my wife makes her way forward, the sad reality is that negative emotions still tend to manage our life and relationships more than positive ones.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Oh, so good to be here. And your pastor and sister pastor seem so kind and sweet. So you're so blessed to have leadership like that. And I met Brother Discipleship Pastor and the one that brought us from the, yes. So anyway, you all have a lot of great leadership. So before I get started, I want to talk a little bit about my books that I wrote here. And I wrote these books because, wow, I'm so passionate about emotional healing. So, you know, we talk about this stuff, but when you walk the road, it's a whole lot different. So Buried Alive, this is a miracle journey of healing from borderline personality disorder. You do not have to have any kind of disorder, any kind of those things to gain from this book. We all have, from time to time, anxiety, racing thoughts, depression, suicidal thoughts maybe. We've all had losses, we've had abuses, we've had all those kinds of things. So this book is about that, and then Sister Vonnie Marshall, which is out of Pentecostal Alexandria, she wrote a clinical chapter in the back, and then our Assistant General Superintendent, Brother Stan Gleason, wrote the foreword in this book. That one is 10. Bursting Alive is I went into depth with the steps of healing. Put more stories, more illustrations, more clinical stuff, more scripture, more exercises where you can walk through this book. This is kind of like a book workbook. And this one is 15. People have used these, either both of these or either or, for like small groups, Bible studies, recovery groups. Alive and Free is basically how to let go of the old and embrace the new. And as I was walking through healing, and of course we keep healing until we see Jesus face to face, right? We're imperfect people. We'll never be perfect until we get there. But alive and free, as I realize, as I'm walking through healing, that no matter if it's emotional or if it's a physical healing or if someone gets filled with the Spirit, all of a sudden, even though you have this wonderful door you're walking through and you're gaining and you're getting all this wonderful stuff, you have this side over here of everything you've ever known. So it's kind of like a lost gain, if you want to say it. So I never realized that there's a process, because we're on the other side excited because there's a miracle and it's wonderful and it is great. But all of a sudden, you know, I had days that I would wake up and say, who am I? You know? Because the more healed you get, the more different responses that you do. You know, you do things different. You make different decisions, all kinds of stuff. And same way with, you know, with the physical healing. When you're used to living a certain way because you have a physical illness and then all of a sudden you get healed, that's wonderful. But, oh, I got to change all this stuff. So I do believe that people that do not attend church any longer, it's not because they don't love God. It's because they don't know what to do with their emotions. They don't know what to do. They love God. This one is 10. So these are great resources. I do take any kind of payment. If you do cash or something equivalent to it, I take a dollar off of each book if you buy more than one. And I have a lot of those new little thrifty things my youngest son is trying to teach me how to do, you know, Cash App, Venmo, Apple Pay, PayPal. So anyway, God is good. Many counselors believe that a majority of what drives us as adults happened in our early years. These scripts written for us long ago are faithfully followed and reinforced as we hold tightly to them. And this is so true. You know, from generation to generation, we pass down things, right? And a lot of times they aren't healthy. They aren't really even right, but that's all we know. So we just pass it all down. And so dysfunction is in every home because we're all imperfect people, right? And we don't do everything perfectly. So I want us to, and I know my husband mentioned that, but I want us to realize and get that in our minds and our hearts that nobody is perfect. Don't look at somebody else on Facebook or someone else across the way at church and think, oh, they got it all together. No, they have issues just like everybody else has issues. They're just different. We all have our weaknesses. We all have things that we have to work on. So that doesn't mean that you're a bad Christian if you suffer. Because I know many, many, many people that suffer feel like, why even try? Why even try? But, you know, we're body, soul, spirit. So we can have a great walk with God. We can love God with all of our hearts. But as my husband said, we still suffer emotionally. Horribly, you know? I'll give you a little example here. My husband pastored church for 20 years. And, of course, I did not know I was suffering with this disorder. And there's days that on Saturday evening when this disorder would cycle and I would feel like I was losing my mind. I would go get in my car and drive as fast as I could drive. And I would finally end up somewhere just screaming out to God, God, you've got to help me. I feel like I'm losing my mind, you know? But Sunday morning, I'm walking in church, leading the praise singers, teaching praise singers practice, putting the smile on my face, because I'm supposed to be the perfect pastor's wife, You know? And that's what we do. We suffer behind closed doors and we walk in and we feel so horrible because we've suffered out at a home, wherever we may be. We've suffered so much and we walk in and we think, oh man, I hope nobody sees how I'm really suffering. Thank you, Jesus. But God's such a great God, isn't he? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So as we come through our childhood, say if our parents have abandoned us, we go through life feeling like people are going to abandon us. And that when I say abandon, now, you know, I grew up in church, went to church all my life, grew up in the Kansas City church, Brother Black, Brother Parkey, Brother Gilstrap, Brother Gleason now. And so we went to church every Sunday, every time the doors was open. We grew up in church, but my sweet mother suffered so greatly because she came from a home that had an alcoholic father, a lot of dysfunction. So she just tried to survive. So emotionally, she was not there. My father came from that era of just work, 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 work. You know, they were both workaholics. And so, you know, as long as you put food on the table and a roof over everybody's head and made sure everybody was okay and everything was fixed, then that's what it was. You know, it wasn't the affection. You know, it wasn't the, oh, honey, you look really pretty in that dress and none of that kind of stuff. You know, men, you know, that he came from that generation. So when I say abandoned, you could feel abandoned. Yeah, they may be there physically, but emotionally, they're just surviving. And so you're going to feel abandoned. Such scripts distort reality and drive people to act and react in what could be very destructive ways. And this is another thing. As my husband said, we can say things can happen and we can say things, do things that are so destructive. And we're thinking, oh my word, Pastor just preached last Sunday about the fruits of the Spirit and this and this and this. And you're just like, oh my word. But we're body, soul, and spirit. You know? Thank you, Jesus. So that happens. So as I go through here, and I'm before I get to my childhood and some of the things that I went through, I want to talk about one of my favorite people in the Bible and stories, and that's Joseph. Now, I know a lot of times we talk about the forgiveness, and that's like, oh, that's I cry every time I read that because that's such an awesome story. But let's go back to Joseph's childhood, okay? Because we don't think about that. We key in on, oh, wow, how he forgave his brothers. I mean, that's just, it's an awesome story how he did all that. But let's go back and look at the dysfunction in his home. You know, you had favoritism. Well, I imagine he was really excited that he was the favorite child. Who doesn't want to be the favorite child, right? Now, I'm the youngest, so, you know, I probably, you know, I heard my siblings say, well, you didn't let me do that. But, you know, in his home, the only brother having the coat of many colors. So, and then all the rivalry, you know, Rachel Lee and all that. I can imagine how all that went. But the rejection that he got from his brothers. You know, I imagine they probably tortured him horribly because, I mean, guys tend to be a little bit that way anyway. You know, they're very competitive. And you take that many brothers. So you take him being thrown in the pit, just like a piece of meat. I mean, I can't imagine how horrified that he would be. That had to be horrible. to realize that your brothers wish you were dead. That's really bad. Yeah. And so here, and then he gets sold, goes to a place that he knows nothing about. Nobody. And I can't imagine all that. So, you know, it may have taken him all those years after getting falsely accused and thrown into prison. It may have taken him all those years just to process all of that and to forgive his brothers. You know, can you imagine sitting in a jail cell? Now, I'm sure back then it was probably pretty gross. You know, maybe rats running all over the place and whatever it may be. But you're sitting in this jail cell. You don't even deserve, you don't even belong there. And you're trying to work through forgiving your brothers. That's got to be a tremendous thing there. And before I get a little further, I want to say this. It takes a great deal of brokenness and repentance to get through to forgiveness. Because the thing of it is, and I'm saying this just because I walked it, is that a lot of times when we have been abused, when we have been hurt, and I know this many people, there's a lot of hurts in here. A lot of stuff has been done to you over the years. But what do? We key on ourselves and what it did to us. And I know for an amount of time, that's the normal, kind of the normal thing that we do. You know, we have to process it all and go through all of that. But at some point in time, when we get through all of this, we have to take responsibility for what it did to us, you know, and what we've done because of somebody else's brokenness. Because as long as we look at everybody else and what they did to us, we're a victim, right? We can't heal. Because we're focused on them and we're not focused on us. We're not focused on making ourselves better. You know, we're not looking inward and thinking, oh, well, okay, so all this is done to me. Well, that doesn't mean that since all of this is done to me that I've done everything perfect since then. No. You know what they say? You know, hurting people hurt people, right? So we've hurt people. We've done things. We've made decisions, had responses that weren't the healthy ones that we should have had, you know? But we get so keyed. And I think too, you know, it's like as long as we're right there, we don't go on to the next step. And it keeps us stuck. But when we become broken and repentant, oh man, what can come out of that? It will amaze you. It will amaze you that only comes from God Himself. I'm going to read you Genesis 45, 5 through 8. Now therefore be not grieved, Joseph is talking to his brothers, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a prosperity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. Wow. Can you imagine what his brothers was thinking? And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all of the land of Egypt. God takes brokenness and makes it beautiful. But it's our choice, right? We can't, you know, we can't go from broken to beautiful without going through the process. If we stay stuck over here and focus on everything that was done to us, we won't take the next step. Every time I think about this, you know, Romans 8:28, God takes all things for our good. You know? Thank you, Jesus. So let me get into my childhood. And as I'm talking about this, I want you to let your minds roam. I'm giving you permission to let them roam. Think back in your childhood, okay? Think back. So failure in my home as I grew up, as I said, you know, we grew up in church, but whether you go to church, whether you don't go to church, it's still emotional baggage and pain. We're all in this thing together, okay? So one way that my mother dealt with failure is attempted suicide, basically. I can remember at least 6 or 7 times in my household that my mother tried to commit suicide. I can remember one particular night my dad just pulling out a whole bottle of pills that she had just taken. She's tried to jump out of a moving vehicle. She came from a hurting home. And so she carried it on. That's how she knew how to deal with failure. So how I dealt with failure was 3 or 4 good doses of Benadryl at one time. You know, they give you a really good night's sleep, a really good sleep the next day. And I'm saying this because I know this is everywhere. Doesn't matter what you do, where you go, where you've been, this happens everywhere. We deal with things, with failure. We do a lot of destructive things. My self-intelligence, I didn't really think I was very smart growing up. Actually, my nickname growing up was Dodo Brain. So, you know, as kids, you know, you think that's pretty funny. But as you grow up, you realize how destructive those nicknames are. They are engraved in you. And so I never thought my thoughts and opinions were very valuable. You know, because with mom struggling so severely with her emotions, I kept mine in. I kept my thoughts and opinions and a lot of my emotions in because I didn't want to affect mom. Because mom struggled so deeply with her emotions, I never knew when everything would just explode in the house. Very faithful. My mom and dad would sing behind the pulpit. People would get the Holy Ghost. My dad was a board member. Nobody ever knew this. No ever knew. I used to sit on the front row. You know, I loved church. I loved church. Involved very, very heavily. I can remember one day talking about my mother and her emotions. You know, discipline was not the right discipline, you know, because when you're emotionally distraught, you don't discipline just for moral things. You discipline for whenever you just get the trigger, you know. And so I can remember we were all downstairs. We got a new puppy. I was so excited about this new puppy. So we're all coming upstairs, and I get to carry it upstairs. And we're about 3 or 4 steps from the bottom, and I dropped it. And it's running around the basement yelping, and I am devastated because I'm thinking I have just hurt this puppy. We all get up the stairs, and my mom gets the belt. And she spanks, and she spanks, and she spanks, and she spanks. And I could hear my dad saying softly, "Honey, honey, honey." So in that atmosphere, discipline was not the right way. You know, I needed, it's going to be okay. The puppy will be okay. Let me read a little paragraph here out of, I have a Soul Care Bible. It says the human mind is not very reliable when it comes to self-concept. Because of our sinful nature, it easily rearranges facts and feelings to produce the wrong effect. Despite its wonderful complexity, the mind can do bizarre things. It reacts to feedback it receives from its earliest years in such an unrealistic way that very few people reach adulthood with a clear and accurate picture of themselves. In fact, one of the reasons why personal success often cannot fix long-standing feelings of inferiority or low self-esteem is a human filtering system that downplays successes and exaggerates personal failures. Many people either distort their self-image in a negative way, I'm a terrible person, or in an exaggerated positive manner, I am better than others. And culture does not help at all. Our world is a mess. And so forth, I was dirty and used, I felt, because I was sexually abused from the ages of 4 to 12. All of those years that you learn boundaries, you learn right from wrong, you learn all of those things you're supposed to learn. I never learned them at all. Abandonment, emotional abandonment. I had so much in my family, and as I talked about that, I know we have had a lot of that. Abandonment is a horrible thing. Is a horrible thing. Fear. Anger. We all have a lot of anger as we grow up and we don't really realize that it just kind of like plays on top of the other as we go through the different stages in our life. Because, you know, what do we do? And I was guilty of doing this too when my kids were at home. But what do we do when our kids come in and they're really mad and upset and maybe even throwing a fit? You know, not even acting right maybe. You know, I had six, so I understand that. And what do? We send them to their room, right? Go to your room and get yourself together. Or go to your room and come out when you're, get yourself together. Instead of letting them sit down and we help them talk through what's making them upset. Teaching them how to process it. But we don't do that. And so as we go through life, our anger gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Because if our foundation is not secure as kids, then as we build on top, when we get a certain ways up, it's going to totally explode. And that's why I'm so passionate about it, because I do not want your foundation to explode. Thank you, Jesus. Manipulated and controlled. We were controlled by emotions. And I know we probably all know that. We can be very, very controlled by emotions, especially if they're very destructive and lots of bad things come out of that. That's the last thing we want. Codependency. I was the one that made mom laugh. You know, my older sister, I had an older sister, older brother. My older sister became the mom. She did all the cooking, cleaning, housework, all that kind of stuff. She took care of me more than my mom did. My brother escaped down the street to his friend's house. That's what he did. My mom just tried to survive. And so everybody in the family, when there is a lot of dysfunction, everybody kind of gets their own little place. Mom would keep me home from school so I could go shopping with her, because that's the way she dealt with her emotions, was to go spend money. And as a child, a little girl, I thought that was the greatest thing in the world. Who doesn't want to stay home from school and go shopping? But I barely graduated. Actually, I had to go back to school a few days and do extra work just to graduate. So the thing of it is a lot of times our parents have done things unintentionally. They're trying to survive. So, you know, a lot of this stuff that happens in our families, it's not intentional. They say 90% is unintentional. They don't know. They're trying to survive. They don't realize what they're doing. None of us realize a lot of times what we're doing when we're unhealthy. We try to survive, right? We just try to do what we need to do and don't realize how deadly it is. And if you would ask your siblings a story of something that happened growing up, they all are different, aren't they? Everybody remembered different things because we're all looking through our own lens, our different lens. And they would remember a particular thing and you'll think, oh, I didn't remember that, but man, I remember this, you know? There's a lot of things that we remember differently because everybody tries to survive and everybody looks through their own lens on trying to get through. So in saying all this, I know maybe you have looked at your childhood and thought about your childhood. We have got to look at it. We have got to know what we've got to know. Because the scripture, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. That means all truth. You know, growing up, I always thought, oh, you know, repentance, baptism, you know, Jesus' name, filled with the Spirit, all that. But it's a little T. It's all truth. Everything that happened to you, everything that happened in you, everything that happened around you, everything, the truth. Because that's the only thing that's going to set us free. Because you have to know the truth to know how to heal. You know, does anybody go to the doctor and you have a physical ailment, but you don't want to tell them, you don't tell them all the symptoms? How in the world is the doctor going to know what to prescribe? What's he going to know? We don't do that, do we? But we expect that we can not say anything. We don't want to know all of the truth because, yes, truth really hurts sometimes. It's so painful. But isn't it painful when we go through physical ailments, right? When we go to the hospital, we have a surgery. Do we say, oh, I don't want all that therapy on my hip. I'll just go home. No, we don't do that, do we? It hurts. Healing is, it hurts. It's painful. But let's do this with our emotions. Yes, it's painful, but wow, the outcome, what God can do in our lives when we do this. Take responsibility for our part. With God, all things are possible, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 1 and 6, be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He is not through with you. Everybody's healing is different. It's different speeds. Don't look at somebody else and say, oh man, look where they are. Because there's always going to be somebody behind you that's still working on something that you've gone through. And there's going to be somebody on the other side of you that says, come here, let me help you. Let me help you through this. So we can't look at each other. Don't compare yourself to everybody else. God made us unique. Amen. He didn't make us exactly the same way. Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. I'm glad he didn't make everybody like me. That's a good thing. Thank you, Jesus. So I want to leave you with hope, encouragement. Yes, I know this digs up maybe a lot of stuff in your past, but wow, we're on this thing together. We're all in this thing together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen, amen, amen. You may wonder why we're dealing with a lot of these childhood scripts and things. That's what forms that soul / psyche area of us. And then we wonder why we have all these negative emotions flowing is from events and things in our life and growing up.